Now, young people are going to go to Sunday school, and Solomon is going to come and read to us from God's Word from Matthew chapter 10, and starting, I think, at verse 26.
So our reading today is from Matthew chapter 10, verses 26 to 42. And we're reading from the Church Bibles, starting on page 815. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father. But even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everybody who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person, because he is a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones, even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple, truly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward.
And if you have your Bibles with you, please turn and remain in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 26. We last week were looking at the first half of this chapter over the two services, and we saw the Lord Jesus sending out his disciples, firstly on a very specific mission for the Israelites, and then verse 16 through to 25 was really thinking about the future mission of those disciples, a mission that has passed down through the generations to us, one that can be summed up with that great ending of the Gospel of Matthew. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. As Jesus was sending out the 12, he reminded them that they would experience persecution, that there would be great difficulty ahead. And if you were to take just Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16 through to 19, probably, beware of men, they will flog you in their synagogues and drag you before governors and kings. It would be quite a despondent reading. We may be filled with fear and despair. And yet Jesus goes on to tell his disciples that the life of a disciple is different. It's distinctive. It's not of the world. We are separate, and because of that, we experience mainly many great blessings. There's one point today that may provide us more difficult. But on the whole, we experience many great blessings. Firstly, we see a picture that the disciples' fear is a different fear. The world outside tells us to be full of fear, but it tells us to be fearful for our flesh, our reputations, our futures, the things of this earth. The things we're most afraid of are often those that will hurt us in some way, physically or mentally. And in my Bible, in the ESV, this chapter is entitled, or this section is entitled, Have No Fear. And while I am in no way qualified to question the great authors at Crossway, I may not entitle it Have No Fear, but Have Fear of the Right Thing, or Fear Not the World. There is something to fear, and we'll come to that in a moment, I should say someone. But for now, verse 26 begins, Have no fear of them. Who are we talking about? Our assumption is those mentioned above who will bring persecution. We saw Jesus being persecuted by the Pharisees, and in verse 25, Jesus said, If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? There were people who earlier, as Jesus was performing great miracles, claimed that he was the prince of demons. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 24, the Pharisee said, He casts out demons by the prince of demons. But Jesus says, Have no fear of them. Have no fear of those that are against you. They don't understand what they're doing. He goes on to say in verse 26, Nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. The simple fact is, those that are persecuting don't know the full message of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't truly understand it. It's not been revealed to them. They are in darkness. But there will be a day when they are proved wrong. There will be a day when they realize they are on the losing side. And we can turn to many places in Scripture. But Romans chapter 14, verse 11 says, It is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. Or Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10, which says, At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Have no fear of those that are against you, because they are on the losing side, and it will be revealed to them. So therefore, Jesus says in verse 27, Don't fear them, and what I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And it's a great picture of the changing nature of the disciples' mission. If we look at how Jesus was acting before this point, look at one of the miracles he performed, and very often he told the one that had been blessed by the miracle not to tell anyone about it. When he was beginning the Sermon on the Mount, he gathered his disciples together. Much of what he taught was very quiet to a specific group of people. There's various reasons for that. But now Jesus is saying, those things that I have whispered quietly to you, you're going to have to go and proclaim them from the rooftops, shout them so all can hear. But while you're doing it, don't have any fear of those that will stop you. Why is it so important to go and proclaim what the Lord Jesus told them? Why is it important for us to go and proclaim what the Lord Jesus told them? Why is it important for us to go into all the world, making disciples and teaching them those things that the Lord Jesus had commanded them? Because we should fear the right thing, the right person. Verse 28, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Fear the one that can condemn people to an eternity of destruction. Don't worry about your physical body. If you were to make a list today of the things that people fear, I don't know what would be on it. Might be jellyfish. I looked up a list of the most fearful things in the world, and a brain-eating, and I can't really say this word, amoeba? We'll go with that. Something that eats brains. Meteoroids, nuclear weapons, all sorts of things are people's greatest fears. But they're fearful for their bodies, not fearful for their soul. One reason that we should be encouraged to proclaim the gospel, to go into the world and tell people of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, is because we fear for them on their behalf of the one who can destroy their body and soul. We don't need to worry about our physical bodies, because our soul, if we are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, is guaranteed and secure. We will spend eternity in heaven. It's an interesting contrast, actually. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 is that very famous verse. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It's interesting as well. Treasures should be laid up in heaven, not on earth. Our fear should be of the one who is in heaven, not of anything on earth. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? The soul is the thing to worry about the most. The soul of others is the thing to worry about the most. Don't worry about what people may say or do, even to the point of death. And we see Christians across the world today living under the threat of death. We see Christians throughout history. And last Sunday night, I read from a book called The Suffolk Martyrs of a young man who was just 19 years old, who was martyred for the simple fact of reading God's word for himself. Don't fear for your bodies, your reputations. Fear the one who can control your soul. Fear for your soul. So not only is our fear different, but our worth is different as well. And we continue into verse 29, where we read, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? You see, the world tells us that we, as human beings, are mere aspects of chance, evolved slightly more than the other animals. With that outlook on the world, we're not cared about at all. As disciples, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are genuinely cherished. We are cared about. I wonder if I ask the question of who here knows exactly how many pigeons flew over their car on their way to church this morning. I'd all walk, some people walk. I'd imagine that no one really knows. Not many of us probably care too much about the individual birds that fly into our garden. I'm sure that there are some that do, and I don't mean to cause any distraction there, but God knows where every sparrow in the world is. He knows when they fly and when they land. Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. So if God cherishes a sparrow that much, and then we read, you are of more value than many sparrows. God values you. Your worth is in him. He knows enough about you to know the number of hairs on your head. And the obvious joke to make at this point is it's easier for some than for others. But God knows us enough to know the number of hairs on our head. We have value. And how great that is. When the world tells us that actually we are just one small thing in a continuous cog that just continues to go, and whether we were here or not, it wouldn't make a difference. We have a God, the God who created the universe, the author of creation, who cares about us, who loves us. That means we can take everything to Him in prayer. That means we can trust that He will provide for all of our needs. It means that we are never alone. But it also gives us a responsibility. God cares for you. God cares for me. And verse 32 gives us that responsibility. Everyone who acknowledges me before men, everyone who acknowledges Christ, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me, I will also deny. God cares for you. The Lord Jesus Christ cares enough for you to come to this earth, leaving the glories of heaven, to die upon a cross. We should care enough about Him to tell others of Him. If we have experienced His great care, His great love, we should have a desire to acknowledge Him before others. I don't know if you've ever experienced the time when you are with a family member and you wish you could deny them being one of your family members. I know when I was a teacher, my cousin was in the school, and I think there were definitely times he wished no one knew that he was my cousin. He probably wished we had different surnames. And we've probably all experienced that crushing embarrassment that only a relative can provide. We shouldn't be embarrassed by God. We shouldn't be embarrassed by our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 is a truly challenging and wonderful verse. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. God cares enough for you to send His Son. The Lord Jesus Christ cares enough for you to leave the glories of heaven. Therefore, we should care enough for Him to acknowledge Him, to tell others of Him. Salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone. It is not by works. But there is a genuine question. If we are ashamed to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, are we truly trusting in Him, or are we more fearful for our own soul, our own bodies? Challenge, big challenge there. We continue to the harder part, I think, of this reading, to the disciples' burden. The world tells us that great peace can be found if only we accept everyone. Everyone believes different things. Everyone has different ideas. If we just accept everything, then the world will be at peace. Believe what you want. Jesus tells us something very different. If people believe different things, there cannot be great peace. It's a bit of a challenge because we see that Christ came to bring peace. And we can think of that in Romans again. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, which says, we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. True peace is man and God being reconciled, being brought together. That's what true peace is. The world has a different idea of peace. It's wonderful running through a meadow of daisies kind of idea. Trying to find peace by acceptance of others' beliefs will always lead to missing someone out, will always lead to hurting someone's opinion. This is what Jesus says in verse 34 of our reading. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A person's enemies will be those of his own household. It's a very difficult picture. It's very difficult to think of the Lord Jesus Christ setting any of us apart from our children, our parents, our brothers, our sisters. But in Christ, we are different. In Christ, there is one big difference. Verse 17, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And there we find the big difference. It's a question of priorities. If we are saved, if we are truly trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, we should love Him more than anything else. Our greatest priority should be our worship of Him, our service of Him. We're not told to physically hate our family, to turn our backs on them. That would probably be the worst witness that we can offer. But our love for the Lord Jesus Christ should supersede everything else. And it's difficult, and I speak this as a father. Am I truly prepared to put my service of the Lord Jesus Christ before my own children? If you understand the cost of our salvation, that's the first step to helping us understand where Jesus is coming from. When Jesus talks about this division, the division shouldn't be an aim. We shouldn't seek to go home today and cause division by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is a consequence. And if we are truly living for the Lord, there will be division. And it might not be great animosity. We're not talking about blazing arguments. We should, in all circumstances, show love. We're talking about not being able to do something because we want to gather with the Lord's people on a Sunday. Not being able to go somewhere because it may seek to undermine our faith in the Lord Jesus. It may put us in a position that we're not prepared to go to. For trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be a natural separation between us and the world. The life of a Christian is the life of a sacrifice. But for us, it's worth it. In one word, reward. A disciple's reward. Those of the world who seek to gain so much get their reward. But the world is all they will get. A temporary thing, a thing that moth and rust will destroy, where thieves may break in and steal. I think it's true to say that it was Alexander the Great, and someone can correct me later when undoubtedly I'm wrong. He stood after conquering most of the known world and wept because there was nothing else to conquer. That reign did not last forever. However, the reward of a true and faithful disciple will last forever. Verse 40, whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives the word that the disciples bring receives the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever receives me receives him who sent me. Whoever receives the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour receives God. To welcome Christ is to welcome God as your Father, and with that comes great rewards, great inheritance, an eternal family, an eternal possession to inherit, to look forward to, a wonderful place with no pain, no suffering. The one who receives a prophet, verse 41, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. The one who receives a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. Whoever gives one little Whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. As we finish, just to unpick those verses, in the context here, we're talking about those who are persecuted. I don't know that the difference of the reward between a prophet and a righteous person is particularly useful to think about. It might be, but the real thing here is there are people that are being persecuted. Jesus is saying there will be people that will persecute the disciples. If you are prepared to welcome someone who is being persecuted, a righteous person, if you welcome them because they're righteous, if you welcome a prophet because they're a prophet, or anyone else because they're a disciple, you are preparing yourself to face the same persecution that they face too. Don't worry about it. Be prepared to welcome them, because you will not lose your reward. Your reward is guaranteed. It is sealed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot be taken from you. Therefore, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. The disciple's life is a different life. It can be a difficult life, but it's a better life. It's a secure life, fearing only God. And at the end of it all, there is a secure reward, a sure and certain hope of eternity in heaven. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what we've heard this morning, and I pray that it will be a challenge and an encouragement to us. May we not leave this place and just forget it, but may we remember what we've heard this morning. Help us to think about it over lunch and in the days ahead. Lord, may your word change us. May we become more like you day by day. Lord, as we go into the time of communion, help us to appreciate the cost of our salvation. Help us to remember what Christ achieved upon the cross. Help us to be grateful and joyful for it. And help us to have a desire to share that wonderful news with those around us. Amen.